ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Time for a bit of a health check now. And researchers appear to be getting closer to an understanding of what's going on with people with long COVID. PASC, or post-acute sequelae of COVID-19, affects around 20% of those who contract the virus. But the findings may also apply to people with lasting symptoms from other viral infections, such as flu. Not only that, new research points to possible and quite simple therapies. Our very own Dr. Norman Swan is co-host of the RN's The Health Report and also What's That Rash? Norman, welcome. Good morning.
Thanks, Sally.
Norman, there are a number of different long COVID studies. You've been looking at just two that have been released. What did you learn?
Just a bit of background here to add to your thing. It's probably a little bit less than 20%, depending on the cohort that you look, rather than scaring people that everybody's going to get it, one in five are going to get it. It's probably Victorian data, which is pretty good, suggests 10 or 12%. And it is significantly reduced if you've been immunised. But nonetheless, a lot of people do get long COVID symptoms. And the question is why. And you can get long extended symptoms after influenza, for example, and other viral infections. Look, what they did in the study is done at the University of Cambridge, which is a world leader in genetic studies. Also, there was involvement of the Walter and Eliza Hall Institute in Melbourne. Took about 214 people, followed them through, and compared people with symptoms at 1 month and then followed them through to a year. And in brief, what they found was a complexity of issues in people who had PASC or long COVID symptoms. What they seemed to have was ongoing inflammation in the body. So in other words, something's going on in the immune system, and abnormalities in the way iron is handled in the body. Now, you need iron for all sorts of reasons in the body, to help carry oxygen to tissues, but it also affects how cells metabolize. Iron is really important. What looks as though is what's happening in people with in this study was that people with long COVID symptoms had signs of ongoing inflammation, and the immune system, the white blood cells, were sucking up the iron from the body into their cells. So in other words, they were developing a high demand for iron and taking iron away from the body. And that was putting stress under the system, under the bone marrow, to the bone marrow, which produces more red blood cells, which need iron. But if they don't get iron, you become anemic. Mm-hmm. So there was anemia, inflammation, and iron locked away in the cells. And this was worse in people who had more severe disease, but it also happened in people with milder disease as well, but it dominated with people with severe disease. So it's this bizarre phenomenon where iron, there's actually no shortage of iron in the body, but it's locked up in the wrong place.
That's interesting. And when people are talking about this fatigue, this blinding tiredness of some people have experienced with long COVID, you know, anemia can just make people feel absolutely exhausted.
Particularly if it's not terribly obvious when you do the test, and also low oxygen levels in the tissues was associated with this as well. So these are subtle effects, but they were pretty impressive, and they identified the genes. But tantalizingly, it could point to treatments. In other words, what would happen, they argue, if you replaced iron? So there's a little bit of evidence that iron infusions might help people in this situation, because you're putting iron into the compartment of the body, in other words, the bloodstream, where it's needed for other purposes. There is a risk in that, because you can, too much iron can reduce immunity. I mean, this is so complicated, and make you more susceptible to infection. So you'd have to do that very carefully. But there's also a monoclonal antibody used already in SARS-CoV-2, which might also have an effect on the genes and the metabolism that might be affecting this. So it's not as if there's no treatment available here. It just illuminates this. And then larger studies could look at people who've got long flu, long glandular fever, those sorts, you know, with post-viral symptoms, which have tended to be a bit of a mystery.
How much stigma is there around long COVID still, do you think, Norman?
I think the stigma attaches to myalgic encephalomyelitis. So people who have what used to be called, well, still called chronic fatigue syndrome, they feel very stigmatized. They feel that doctors think that this doesn't exist, it's not real, and get shortchanged. And I've been shortchanged in medical research as well, and in treatment, you know, possible treatments for this. And it's political and very, very difficult. I think long COVID has less stigma attached to it, although it may well, and people say, well, it's very different from myalgic encephalomyelitis, but it may not be. And these findings may also help people with myalgic encephalomyelitis because their fatigue, their fog is very real. It's not imaginary.
Norman, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's Dr. Norman Swan, co-host of RN's Health Report, and also What's That Rash? It's a title I never forget.